everybody, and welcome to this exciting 22nd episode of the Divided by Werewolf show. I'm here, Mitch is here. We have a very special guest from...
Very special.
Absolutely. So we should rename this show of either Jumping the Werewolves or Divided by Were-Sharks, because the one and only Mr. Todd Bragge is with us here tonight.
All right, you candy-ass Southerners, let's do this Midwestern style.
White bread on white bread mayonnaise sandwiches.
Let me tell you, I've been listening to the show, and every time you say "Div by Werewolves" when you announce the start of the show, it just sounds wrong to me. You know, because it's like it's exactly your Jumping the Shark cadence, and I wait to hear Jumping the Shark.
It's because I only have one cadence. I can only do one thing, and I just change out the name of it. But
well, you find something that works for you.
I'm like the oh shit, what's his name? Joey Tribbiani. What's the guy actor who plays him?
Matt LeBlanc.
I'm the Matt LeBlanc of podcasting. No, I'm the Tony Danza of podcasting.
Oh,
whatever,
man.
I'm casting.
No, don't do that to yourself, man.
You have yet to add an R to the end of a word that ends in A, so Angela. You are not Tony Danza.
Angela? But his character is always named Tony, though, right? Like,
I don't know what his name was in Don Juan, but he was fucking amazing. What was that movie? Was it not? Not Don Juan. What was the name of it?
I don't know.
Fuck.
I only know him from Who's the Boss? And then another show where he was also named Tony.
What was that movie with the kid who played Robin in like The Dark Knight Rises and shit and Scarlett Johansson, and he was like addicted to sex or whatever?
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah,
Don John? Was
Don,
it Don
John? John? Yeah. Yep.
I don't know if his name was Tony in that, but he was fucking amazing in that movie. He was like the highlight of that movie.
Wow. That's amazing.
That doesn't sound right.
He was very good.
I'll have to go watch it. So we are all here together, dearly beloved. We are gathered here tonight to discuss. Sorry. We're going to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy 2 because Mitch was so excited. His favorite Marvel movie. It's kind of hard to say, though. It's his favorite MCU movie, because his favorite Marvel movie, obviously, Deadpool. So he was so excited that his favorite MCU movie got a sequel. And I don't know how – we were talking to Todd on Twitter, and Todd was like, I'll be on your show. And I think it was Mitch's idea that he come on to talk Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
I just knew that, first of all, can we just say that I am in the presence of podcasting royalty.
Yeah.
Well, I don't give a shit what we talk about. But, you know, given what we
How
generally
talk
about.
How high are you right now?
No, I'm not. Not at all. I've never been high, actually. But I just felt like I don't mind subjecting you to the shit I watch, Brandon.
I love the shit you watch.
But it doesn't necessarily, you know, go over too well with most other people, and I happen to like Todd a good bit. And so I was like, well, let's be honest, the next thing we're all probably going to want to see is Guardians of the Galaxy, so let's maybe do that one.
Let me tell you, I wish I had seen Get Out in time to join the show for that.
Yeah.
I honestly almost want to do that one again because the Blu-ray is about to come out.
Yeah, no shit. Well, Logan comes out next week.
Logan too.
Again.
Yes,
yeah. Absolutely.
Do you know if the Blu-ray is going to have the black and white cut, or are they going to like gouge people for
that's
that?
That's my understanding. My understanding is that the noir Logan noir is on the Blu-ray.
Because I tell you, have you ever watched the Frank Darabont The Mist in black and white?
Yeah, hell yeah. That first time I saw it at home was that way.
Really? Oh god, I fucking love that movie.
Yeah. Oh God.
And then
too.
In black and white, it's even better.
Yep. So. It sure is.
All right. So we're going to stick to the typical script. We're going to talk some games, and then of course we're going to get into Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And then we'll kind of see where we are and go from there. And Todd, you are our very special guest, so we're going to let you go first so that we can hear about Civ 5 and XCOM 1 and or 2.
You know what's funny about that is you're wrong.
Oh,
but in theme, you're absolutely right, because what I've been playing is Wasteland 2.
Wasteland 2.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
The director's cut.
Oh, the director's cut.
Yeah, we talked about it for a while on JTS, but I gave up less than halfway through. I don't remember why. It was just one of those things where I petered out. Yeah. But after the director's cut came out, I wanted to get back to it, and And I went through a sports game kick for the last couple months and did Rise of the Tomb Raider. I want credit for that.
Oh,
I want to play that. Yeah. I still want to play that so bad.
It's good.
Have you played Tomb Raider?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, then you played Rise of the Tomb Raider.
That's true.
But I haven't played
that. I do think it's a better game. It's a better game. It's a better balanced game.
There's nothing bad about it. It's just that, you know, it's like, if you like Tomb Raider, you'll love Tomb Raider. Like, I hate to say that. Kind of derivative.
Yeah, but there's no Baba Yaga DLC for the original Tomb Raider.
Well, that's
so.
True.
That did almost break me. But
that's why I wanted to play it.
It did nothing to solve the meat grinder problem that I thought the first game had, but I didn't expect that this time around.
No.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's just a kick-ass action game. It was a lot of fun.
So Wasteland Director's Cut, what is different about it from the previous one?
You know, truth be told, I couldn't tell it.
Uh-huh.
Having played, you know, probably a good 20 hours of the original cut, however you want to phrase that, I really couldn't tell you what's different. I know they streamlined the UI a bit. I know they did some things to make some of the graphics textures a bit better. I think I remember them saying they did some things to rebalance some of the tactics game. And I can't tell you for sure what they did or didn't do. It's all pretty much the same game to me, except I'm enjoying myself much more this time around.
See, I just found it to be, honestly, I found it to be a bit too hard.
It is a challenging game.
Yeah.
But I'm playing on normal, unlike Tomb Raider, where I played on easy.
I play everything on easy.
Yeah, I have really given up the whole idea of having a challenge in games anymore. Just let me get through it, because if I can't just walk my way through it, I'm not going to finish it.
Yeah.
But I had some luck early on in Wasteland 2, where I had a random encounter. When you travel between areas on the map, you just have a little Indiana Jones line going across the map, right? You can get these random encounters. And I had one that was with a merchant, and dude was selling some high level shit, at least for that early in the game. And I just happened to have a bunch of scrap on me, so I traded it for the best. It's still the best, you know. I got in the first hour what is still halfway through the game the best sniper rifle I have seen in the game.
And sniper rifles are huge in that game because of
one shot kills almost across the board through the first half of the game with that.
Yeah, awesome. and because you can then because the problem in that game is getting bum rushed, and then if you start missing shots and that would be a pretty big deal.
Yeah, so I got that, and I had one character tricked out with energy weapons, and I got the. I've since replaced it with one that's just marginally better, but for most of the game, the best energy weapon I'd seen up to that point. So I had two people with, you know, high damage weapons or high utilization weapons right off the bat. So it was really just walking through the first third or more of the game without really any particular challenge, which was nice.
Yeah.
Because I like to just make progress.
Right, right.
And so now... It's the game where it's a tale of two halves, right? Because you start off in Arizona, and at some point you get to Los Angeles, which I never made last time around. Well, I've made it to Los Angeles now, thinking I'm going towards the end game. And then I looked up a wiki online to see how much more game there was, and it turns out it's only about halfway.
Oh, wow.
So I've got some more gameplay ahead of me for this, but I'm enjoying it, and I see myself finishing it this time around.
Mm. Did you play Tides of Numenera? Or how much of Numenera did you play?
I was going to say, I played for about 5 hours, maybe less than that. It reached the point where they were already talking about post-game content for it, and I'm thinking, you know what, they're going to do, it's going to be like another Wasteland 2 scenario where they do some significant updates to smooth out the game, and I'm just going to wait on that. And today they just released
They released.
Yeah, a patch that added new companion and some other stuff, and I think I'm still going to continue to wait and see what more they do with it before I go back to it.
Yeah, I played the shit out of that game when I was unemployed, and then I started playing Horizon Zero Dawn, and I was like, let's see, I can either talk a lot, or I can fuck up robot dinosaurs. Yeah, I'm sure I know where I'm going with this one. And I never went back to it, and I don't know if I would, to be perfectly honest.
It's a someday, and for me, for like 2 years, Wasteland 2 has been a someday I'll go back to it game, so I imagine I will go back to Torment at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I have it on my laptop, so I can watch what I play. I can play it while I'm watching TV, but I'll fall asleep because there's so much, you know, just kind of conversation, and then, you know, I don't like the combat, and then I picked a little girl as a companion because I felt bad because I was like, so Mitch is, you can as you go through this game, you know, you meet up with people and you can choose like whether they join your party or not, and so you meet this little girl and she's without getting into the whole thing, she's an orphan of sorts, and you promise to help her, and you can either, like, shove her through this portal to maybe get adopted by other people, but you basically go back on your word, or you can just leave her to be a street urchin, or you can keep her in your party. And the problem is, she's kind of useless in your party unless you build out her skills in very specific ways, at which point she actually becomes – she's one of those characters where it's like if you spend the time and you're willing to kind of shoulder her for a big chunk of the game, she becomes incredibly useful. And I just was like, she is a fucking drag, but I can't at this point. I feel bad.
Because
anytime you're like, hey, maybe you should leave the party, they're like, she looks at you with puppy dog eyes and one lone tear goes down her grime-streaked cheek.
Yeah.
And you're like, ugh, fine. And she's like, yay! And then you die. And you're like, fuck.
That is not the description part, but that is very true of party development in Wastelands 2 as well. A lot of the characters you pick up, you have to look at as investments for down the line, because they're useless out of the gate, and it takes time to build up the skills that can help you.
Yeah.
And I this time around, I did a party creation video just to try and figure out, okay, this is how I really want to do it for this game. But I didn't take the step of looking up the companions I might want to have actually joined the party. Mm-hmm. And fuck if I didn't end up doubling up on everything because of that.
Oh, really?
it was bad planning, bad staff work on my part.
Oh, well. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
So you said you were on a sports game kick?
I got
the show, or?
I did a little bit of the show. I was doing, first of all, I bought Mass Effect Andromeda. And totally didn't get into it, but I bought it pre-sale and got a free month of EA access, right?
Here's my review of Mass Effect Andromeda. I had like six videos that I didn't put on the channel because I was like, whatever. Anyway, go ahead.
I hope to go back to that someday, but sure shit ain't going to be right now.
BioWare isn't, so why should you?
And oh, I don't.
Exactly.
No, snap. Too soon, Brandon. Too soon. It just doesn't feel right.
No, that's it right there. It just doesn't feel right.
It's not because animations are janky. It's not because it's a bit bug filled. It just doesn't feel good to play. And BioWare has been on this curve for a while, really since I think Mass Effect 3 started them in this direction. I thought Inquisition continued it. And I thought this one took it to absurd levels of just wasting your ever loving goddamn time.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in this game. This game, more than any other I've played in recent memory, it just completely saps any late game momentum you feel like you have.
Respect my fucking time.
Yeah,
and it doesn't. You can see that in the first few hours of the game. It's not going to respect your time, and I'm just like, I'm not up for this right now.
Yeah.
But I was playing a bunch of NBA 2K Live, or 2K, 2K Live, NBA 2K16.
Nice.
For a while there, because I was too cheap to buy 17. I still had that sitting around on my Xbox One. I'm like, all right, I'll play this for a while. And I did a full season with my...
You were just really into Spike Lee's career mode.
That was the worst. That's still the worst thing I've ever encountered in the sports game. Oh, my God.
Well, thankfully, it comes to Madden, I think, next year, so that'll be good.
Yeah, my career should mean my career. It should not mean Spike Lee's fucking career, but I went off on that in the JTS show way back then. So I had a free month of EA Access, so I ended up picking up the what's-his-name's golf game, the EA Sports, the one they replaced Tiger with.
Oh, Rory McIlfer.
Oh, yeah, Rory McIlroy or whatever.
Yeah.
Was it Rory?
I think so.
Yeah, whatever. So anyway, I was playing that. That's absurdly easy unless you turn off some of the controls, because it will tell you basically where your ball is going to land if you hit it right at all times, compensating for wind, compensating for however what English you're going to put on the ball. So I don't mind, right now I don't mind games being absurdly easy, so I left all that shit on. You know, played through it, had a month of EA Access, played that, played a tiny bit of Madden because I hadn't touched a Madden game in so long, and yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, one game's all
a couple hours of Madden, I'm good. And I did pick up the show and was enjoying that quite a bit, actually. But I've been in a good baseball kick this year.
Nice. All right, Mitch.
So I've been playing shit. When I don't podcast for a year, I've got stuff to
say. Damn, this apparently is what we had to do. Just take 12 months off. And then. So, Mitch, what are you up to? Because I haven't gotten any notifications on my phone that Mr. Bones is streaming.
No, I unfortunately have been slacking in the streaming game, but I have been playing games. I don't know. I'm playing shit that I had already started, and nobody would want to watch me play as I'm playing and shit. And I'm kind of biding my time until the 26th and Friday the 13th comes out. Mm-hmm. And like we talked about last time, I'm kind of playing shit that I had bought with the intention of streaming, but I just didn't for whatever reason. So I'm like balls deep in Soma.
In the flash sale for like $9, and then I remember you telling me based on my Prey walkthrough. I don't think this is going to be for you.
Because at least in Prey you get to fucking fight back. But Soma is very good, but it is very much your sort of Outlast kind of thing where you're running for your life when you're not aimlessly wandering around trying to figure out what the fuck you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. But the story's so good. And I don't know, this is my first exposure to Frictional. I never played Amnesia or anything else. So I didn't know much about it when I bought it. I just knew that everybody said that Amnesia was the scariest thing ever and this is their new game and it was on sale. So I was like, I like scary games. I'll buy that. Mm-hmm. And I bought it, played it for an hour, put it down for an embarrassing amount of time, just didn't go back to it. But for whatever reason, I picked it back up, and I'm really into that. It's very good. And I'm also playing, and this will shock the shit out of you, I'm playing Destiny again. I'm back.
Let it go, man.
I considered picking it back up just for some of the year, whatever the end of Destiny stuff that they have. But I don't know if I can.
I just want one 400 character across the board. Just one.
Oh,
I put so many hours.
No, I could see that.
I fucking deserve one character to be at the final end-all be-all level in this game.
No, last time they had Iron Banner because... when we were doing Iron Banner before and we were fucking cleaning up, I was when I saw that same thing, I was Iron Banner, they had raised the level and everything. I was maybe I should do that. Cause I can work out in the morning and do Iron Banner and get 3-4 matches in and typically do pretty well. But I'm not going to say afraid to pick it back up, but I guess that would be the right word.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm totally back in. But the thing is, there's two things I want. I want the year 3 Icebreaker, which...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, dude, though. Yeah. The thing is, you have to pick up that bounty from old dude in the Vanguard Hall, and then you have to finish the Nightfall in less than 30 minutes and get a gold medal. Ugh. And then you have a chance to get the Icebreaker. So, for the last 3 weeks, I've been running the Nightfall 3 times with 3 different characters. And, I haven't gotten it. So I don't know if that's going to happen. But I am just one chess piece and one heavy 400 heavy weapon away from 400, and then I can put it down.
Do you have any the gold orbs or whatever that you can unlock?
No, I'm not getting that.
Because I have a bunch of those. I have a bunch of those in storage that I never decrypted. I have a bunch of engrams I never decrypted. Because I was okay, I should wait, and then potentially...
I never did that. I'm stupid. I run straight to the Cryptarch when I get one.
No, because when I was trying... This is when we were getting ready to do the raid, right? We were in the hopes that John would sure...
I still want that to happen.
I would like to, too, but I know he's... I don't know how much he's into it, and he's the only cat I know that would be willing to do it, and I don't want to, impose upon him.
Right.
But anyway, so when I was kind of trying to get raid ready, I was just saving up all my exotics. But then I was also spending 3 coins like a fucking madman. And then you do an Iron Banner, and man, those golds, they pop like crazy.
Yes, sir.
And so I have 4 helmets and a bunch of heavies, and I just never decrypted them because I was waiting for the right time. And now they're just rolling around in my pocket like loose change. Yeah. I wish I could gift them to you. Yeah, so I'm the live stream's tomorrow for Destiny 2. So
yeah.
I gotta find out when that beta is so I can. Don't pre-order games, kids, because you don't know if the game's gonna be any good. But I'm gonna pre-order Destiny 2 so I can get early access to the beta.
Damn right.
Do as I say.
Don't assume.
I'm a parent. God damn it! I actually said that to my wife the other day. She said something about rules, and I said, "Rules don't apply to me. I'm a parent." Fuck rules.
I have flat out told my kids that. I'm like, kids, you know the difference between what you can say and I can say, right? And
they're
like,
hell yeah. Yep. Hell yeah.
Fuck like, yeah, you fuck. Do.
I'm drinking right out of the milk carton, goddamn right. Yeah, I'm drunk at 9 o'clock. Rules don't apply to me. Yeah, well, shit. See, now you're going to get me back into it.
Well. Damn it. It's a disease, man.
You know, I don't think I will, not that I would ever get any money for it, but I don't think I could, like, I still have my Rock Band disc, like the original Rock Band, like the actual disc.
I finally gave mine away.
I gave all the equipment away, except for the mic, which I'm using right now. But, but for the game itself, I just could not get rid of it.
Wow.
Because it meant too much to me because I'd spent so much time playing that game. And I don't think I wouldn't get anything for the Destiny disc, but I don't think I could get rid of it because of how much time. Just like Overwatch, I don't think I could get rid of that
God,
game.
Oh, God, no. Yeah,
I
no,
get
never.
That. I get that. I've got a box in the basement that's still got some floppy disk games in it.
Oh, nice. Really?
Seriously. Yeah, like Starflight, the original Wasteland, a couple, all the original Ultima games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, I still have the I have the GameCube Zelda disc that had Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask that you got for pre-ordering Wind Waker.
Yeah,
I
nice.
Still have that because you know I played the shit out of Wind Waker. Right around the time I adopted my son. So
you told the best story about that.
Yeah. Well. those were in better days.
Your best days are still ahead.
Yeah. Well, hey, once you get into the teenage years, you're not there yet. Neither one of you are there yet, but trust me.
When
you get to the teenage years and you start going, most rewarding job, my ass.
Excuse me, sir, but my daughter turned 13 last December, so I'm
there. Oh, okay, my bad. I'm sorry.
Jacob turned 13 in February, so.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Get your facts straight.
You're right.
Think you're the president or something?
Yeah, no shit. You should look at all this data I have. I have all the best data.
This data's bigly.
You're going to love the data I have. Wait until I give you all my data. What I've been doing, so first of all, for me, mister, I don't replay games. I replayed Darksiders, finished that the other day.
But it was surely it was the high, the whatever.
It's the remaster, right?
Remaster.
It was, yeah, it was the Definitive Edition is Darksiders 2.
Yeah. Warmastered, right? Was it Warmastered?
Yeah, Warmastered, yeah. So what happened was, so the Humble Bundle a couple months ago was like a PS4 bundle, a Nordic Games PS4 bundle, and if you paid $15, you got a bunch of games that I would never play, but you got Warmastered Darksiders and then the Definitive Edition Darksiders 2. And I didn't buy it because I'm a dumbass, but then they announced Darksiders 3, and I was like, fuck, now I want to play Darksiders. Well, they're smart, those Nordic people, because that day they announced the Darksiders Fury Edition bundle on the Xbox One. That was Darksiders Warmastered and the Definitive Edition Darksiders 2. Normally $40, but then they were selling it for $20. And I was like, well, nice. it's $5 more than what I could have paid for the Humble Bundle, but I didn't. So I was like, all right, well, because so you know me, I play games while I watch TV, play games while I work out, and then I stream. So if I have a game that I'm streaming, and I knew I was going to be streaming Prey, I needed something to kind of play on my off hours, so to speak. And I was kind of waiting for – I'd asked for some games for my birthday, and I was waiting for those. So I started up Darksiders thinking, okay, well, I'll just kind of fuck around with it a little, but I'm not actually going to finish it. No, I finished it. I actually had to not – I mean, I got all the achievements, so I have 1,000 points in both of the Darksiders games, on the
OG
360.
Yeah.
And I had to actually stop myself from trying to get more points on the War Master. I just say to myself, you did it. You did it, son. You ain't got to put nothing to nobody.
Don't be a hero.
Right. Exactly. What you trying to prove? So I actually had to stop myself from like going back and getting like different collect. Like I had to keep looking at the list of achievements and going, you're not going to do that. You're not going to get, you know, how much time that's going to be. And I was like, well, maybe. And no, stop it. So, but Darksiders, man, that shit holds up incredibly well.
Does it? I've almost bought it on Steam sale a couple of times just because I knew you liked it.
Do you know? But yeah. It holds up because it stole wholesale great ideas from other games.
Yeah. Great artists steal outright, right?
It stole, first of all, the art style. I mean, because it's a somewhat cartoony, you know, that Joe Mad art style, big shoulder pads and giant, you know, not like grotesque Rob Liefeld, you know, muscles, but
Captain
like
America,
everything's,
Heroes,
you know, kind of super exaggerated and that weird, like, demonic yet safe, you know, art design. Because it's somewhat cartoony, the art design still holds up really well.
Okay.
Yeah. And the gameplay in terms of the combo chains, switching between weapons on the fly, straight from God of War. And God of War, for all the good and bad of it, and I fucking hate that series, but I've played all of them, and I'll play the next one. That combat is on point. The ability to just switch between, you know, different types of weapons on the fly, just with a button press, heavy attacks, light attacks, jumping in the air, all that shit, stringing all that stuff together, and this fucking badass combo, it's in there. The game structure, straight up Zelda. Go to a dungeon, explore halfway through the dungeon, third of the way through the dungeon, get a new tool that allows you to explore more of the dungeon and also kill the final boss and go back to previous places and unlock more shit. And then you get a portal gun about three quarters of the way through. So the reason it works as well as it does is because they were smart enough to take game ideas that had been around for quite a while and put them all together in a way that worked. And so, so it isn't some, you know, they didn't come up with some system that at the time was like, hey, this is new and awesome, but then as time goes on, just kind of fades. It still holds up incredibly well. It's very satisfying. There's a few places where, you know, I would go to jump and it wouldn't quite register that I jumped and I would plummet to my death. Oh, well, big deal. But for the most part, yeah, it holds up incredibly well. And the remaster looks great. You know, I mean, you can still tell that it's a 360 game, but, you know, it's just crisper, the colors are brighter. So it's definitely worth playing. And I did, the only reason I didn't jump right into Darksiders 2 was I was like, well, that's a lot of Darksiders. Like, that particular aesthetic, I didn't know if I was ready to jump right into another one. So what I did jump into, though, in my off hours is Nier Automata.
Oh,
holy
really?
Shit. Oh, man, dude, this game's fucking great.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, yes. I do. I've been very interested in that game.
Yeah. So Nier is this like Japanese action RPG that came out like a few years ago. It's on 360, so it's probably, God, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I never played it, but I heard it was good, but I also heard it was like super weird. And so this Nier Automata, they came out with a demo of it a couple months ago, and you basically play these androids. So the basic story is that these aliens came and invaded Earth and essentially almost completely wiped out humanity. Like, humanity had to go to the moon, and then they established these bunkers in orbit. And so you play as an android who is sent to Earth to kill all these machines. They look, they are the least threatening robots you'll ever see. Imagine like you know those domed garbage cans. Like, imagine a domed garbage can with arms and legs that attack you with like a pinwheeling motion, and that's like some of the enemies in this game. That's like the design aesthetic. And so you're an android, and you're sent to Earth to basically kill machines to try to take the planet back for humanity. And it's Platinum Games, and I think it's Square, but I could be Square Enix, but I could be wrong on that one. But it's an action RPG that also has, like, shoot 'em up, bullet hell elements to it. The way you get powers is you get different chips that you install in your head, and you can, like, switch between different chipsets based on what you're doing. There's actually an operating system chip that if you take out of your head, you die. Like, game over. and it's just this really, like, beautiful, like, you're kind of going around Earth. The aesthetic is like a, it's kind of like a Last of Us type of thing where, like, you know, humanity may have left, but so nature is just kind of taken over. But the combat is super fluid, a lot of dodging, and then switching up kind of heavy light attacks. And then you have this robot that floats around with you that you can use to shoot enemies. So I highly recommend playing the demo, although the demo is the first mission of the main game. However, when you play it in the main game, you can't save at all. So it's like 45 minutes of you playing it, and if you die, then you have to start back at the beginning.
Oh.
But I'm a fucking boss, so I didn't die.
Nice.
And I had already done it before, so... but it's super cool. And I thought about streaming it, but I'm streaming Prey. And so I was like, well, I got it for my birthday. I don't want to then not play it. So I started kind of doing that on my own.
So I looked this game up. And let me tell you, if you go to Google Images, there's some interesting imagery mixed in with all the screenshots.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. So it's Platinum. So your character, your female android. You got, you know, the blonde pageboy haircut, the black scarf around your eyes for some reason, the kind of like the maid, black maid's outfit with fishnet stockings and the garters, I don't know. But the thing, there's three different, supposedly there's like 26 different endings for the game.
Oh God.
Dang.
But you play through once, then you play through as a different android the second time, then you play through as a third android the third time. And depending on how long it is, I could totally see myself playing through it that many times just to kind of get the full story, because I totally dig this world. And I think coming off of, it's a great game to play coming off of Horizon Zero Dawn, because it's that same, like, you know, kind of nature has moved on, humanity's gone, mm-hmm. type of thing, which I'm really kind of digging. I think the best thing for this planet right now is to just shake us off like fleas.
Oh, shit.
Shake
us like a wet dog.
No shit, yeah. So I'm really digging this, and then I'm playing Prey, but I have to put a caveat in there. I am playing a fucking completely broken-ass version. I am not playing the version of Prey that everybody else is playing. I'm playing my own intentionally broken version of Prey. So I started playing
the game. So how do you define this?
So I started playing the game, and Mitch can vouch for me. This is me walking into a room. Oh, hey, what's over here? Oh, hey, a safe. Hey, that's where. There's two coffee cups. Ah! One coffee cup, you know, turns into a mimic alien, and then I'm frantically fucking whacking it with the wrench, and three quarters of my health goes away, and I'm just like, that's bullshit. I fucking hate this shit. And I have, like, you know, my heart is racing, pounding, and... And I was like, I can't do this. So I played a couple days of that, and then I learned that there is currently, unless they've patched it out, there is a glitch, a duplication glitch in Prey, where so Prey, you're trapped on this abandoned space station, and aliens have kind of taken over, and you basically have to kind of, I don't know what the right, I don't know what the overarching goal is. I guess to get off the station. But right now I'm trying to figure out, your character has some memory loss, and you're trying to piece together what happened. And in kind of typical survival horror fashion, everything is rationed. So health kits are hard to come by. Ammo is hard to come by. You do a lot of sneaking around enemies. There's, like, enemies that shoot lightning at you, shoot fire at you. And then, you know, different your progress is somewhat gated because you don't have enough neuromods, which is their, you know, version of like plasmids from BioShock, to enhance your abilities to allow you to, you know, maybe lift up a heavy thing that you can go through a door or hack a terminal so you can unlock a door, that type of thing. So the way this thing works is you find all this junk, and I mean literally junk, banana peels and fried circuit boards, shit like that. You bring it to a recycler, it turns into different types of materials. You use the materials, you can construct things like ammo and health kits and whatnot. So there's a duplication glitch in Prey, where if you take a cube of material, you put it in the recycler, and you divide it into four equal stacks, and then duplicate it, it doubles the amount of stuff that you have. Just like you imagine if you had $1 the first day and $2 the next day and $4 the next day, it wouldn't take you very long before you had a fuck ton of money. Well, it don't take you very long till you have a fuck ton of materials, and then you got all the shotgun ammo and health kits you need. And then Prey becomes a lot of fun. Not fun in the way that Arcane or Bethesda wants you to have, but fuck them, it's fun in the way I like, because I can roll up in a room and fuck up some aliens while I go about exploring. Trust me, I am having a much better time now that I've done that.
Yeah.
And my understanding of the game is that the beginning of it is a bit of a slog because you're resource constrained. But then as you progress further and you start getting neuromods and can start uncovering different combat options, it gets better. But I didn't feel like in BioShock, the setting and the atmosphere was enough to get you through those earlier, tougher hours. Yeah, and I just didn't feel like that this game had the same thing going for it. Like, if this glitch did not exist, I would not be playing it now because I just would have given up. I just don't feel like the atmosphere that they've set up and the reasons for why you're doing what you're doing are compelling enough to kind of get through those tough beginning parts. And I'm playing on easy.
It's been weird to watch the reception this game has gotten.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people who really don't like it, and of the people that do like it, mostly they just talk about the environments and the level design.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, and it's cool because, like, honestly, one of the things I like the most about Dishonored 2 was kind of to get into a space and then go, all right, how else could I have gotten here? And then just exploring around, be like, oh, I could have gone there, I could have gone there, I could have gone there. But that you have to do after you've cleared everything out. And so I like that aspect of this. And the fact that enemies respawn. So what? Okay, so I don't have this glitch. I'm fucking running around with a wrench and I'm eating tomato jerky in the hopes I can get enough health back. And I'm going to make my way through, sneak past aliens, maybe kill some, whatever, get a thing, have to go back halfway across the station to where I'm supposed to go, and you're going to fucking respawn some enemies on me? Oh, fuck.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Hell
oh,
no.
I hate that kind of thing.
No. Mm-mm. So it's hard for me to say whether it's a good game because I'm really not playing it the way it's supposed to be played. But I'm having a good time, so I don't give a fuck. So Mitch, you were worried about whether we'd last an hour. We've gone 45 minutes. We've gotten to...
I wasn't worried.
Oh, are we going to talk about a movie?
We are going to talk about a movie.
Talk about something else that I hadn't maybe seen yet. So I just wanted to make sure I had all my shit together. That's all.
I understand. Okay, so the reason we're here. So Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Now,
Mary Poppins, y'all.
Was he a cool guy? So I think it's safe to say that Mitch has the most comic book knowledge out of any of us.
About Guardians, absolutely.
Yeah. I would say about anything.
Probably about anything, but I literally have not read more than two or three Guardians comics in my life.
And I would bet that the Guardians that you read, same as me, are ones that they redid after the movie
Brian
came
Michael
out to match the lineup in the movie. So, Mitch, that was always one of your problems with it, right? Was that it wasn't like the traditional Guardians lineup?
Right.
Is that your only problem, or was it more of a...
Oh, no.
I want to hear this. I want to hear, Mitch, why you didn't like the original movie, because I think it's fantastic.
Well, okay, so first of all, I wanted to love it because I love
James
Gunn. I love Slither. I love Super. I should have loved this movie. This is James Gunn fucking of trauma origin doing a comic book movie. It should have been my movie. And everything I heard was about how good it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, you know, people, like friends that I trust their opinions over anybody's were like, this is the one. And I was like, okay. And then I watched it and I was like, it just did not click with me for some reason. Like I just was so, and that was my problem with it. I had built it up in my head about how good it was going to be. And it just didn't hit that for me.
The
that
expectations
I wanted
game
to do.
Gets tricky. I understand.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And so that just, and I knew that, you know, this Guardians team was more from like the Annihilation thing. And like, it wasn't the Guardians that I read in the, you know, the 80s, like late '80s, early '90s and shit, like Starhawk and all those guys. Like I knew it wasn't the Guardian and I'm fine with that. It's just, I don't know, man. I watched it and I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, well, Ronan the Accuser is a badass. And I'm like, who the fuck is this?
Like, yeah.
This isn't fucking Ronan the Accuser. What the fuck?
That's fair. Yeah.
It just did not. It just unfortunately failed to meet the expectation that I had built in my head for it. And that's not to say it's a bad movie. I've never said it's a bad movie. All I ever said was, to me, it's not as good as everyone else seems to think it is. And it more than anything, it sort of got on my nerves, which was disappointing.
Yeah. And I think that's where, you know, I mean, I agree with you. Like, if you – Marvel, I think, has a problem with taking extremely badass villains – and then just kind of making them a one and done type of thing.
They absolutely do.
I mean, if you look at what they did with Ultron, like, what, you trying to fucking tell me there ain't no more Ultron in the Marvel Universe?
Exactly.
Like, what the fuck is that all about?
The Red Skull?
Red Skull, right.
Are completely wasted.
Right, right. And so, you know, I don't think they do a very good job of giving their villains the same, like, respect and treatment that they do
prior,
to their heroes.
Prior to this movie, I would tell you that the only good Marvel villain they've really had, they've done justice to, is Loki.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And only because they found a way to make him a part of multiple movies.
Yep. They have, but I don't think only that, because in the original Thor movie, which granted I like up better than other people seem to, but
I love that movie.
Loki gets good development in that movie.
Yes.
I mean, ultimately, the villain in that movie isn't supposed to be Loki, just like in Dark World, it's not supposed to be Loki, but those movies are all, the Thor movies are all about Thor and Loki, and if you watch them through that lens, both of them work.
Right. Yep. Right. I mean, with the exception of like Hydra, but Hydra is an organization. They're not like a, you know, Hydra is more of a concept. So,
yes.
And you can tell, you know, that the reason that they've kept Hydra around as much as they have is because, you know, they've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and they've got, you know, they can get use out of it. Whereas somebody like Ronan the Accuser, most of the people who go to see Guardians of the Galaxy have no idea who the fuck this cat is in the first
nor
place.
Nor do they so care. They, yeah.
Nor do they
right,
care.
Right, yeah,
so
yeah,
to
exactly.
To them, they're just like, hey, it's somebody to Star-Lord to dance against and then, you know, and then be done with. But if you're a comic fan, you're just like, what the fuck? I mean, for me, I knew nothing about Guardians of the Galaxy before seeing the movie. I knew who James Gunn was because I also love Slither. It was one of those things where I was like, all right, well, I like him a lot, and I enjoyed the Marvel movies thus far, so I'm going to just kind of go into it with an open mind, and then, you know, obviously I enjoyed it. The second one, I don't know. I don't think I liked I'd have to watch them both, I think, back to back, but I don't feel like I enjoyed the second one as much as I liked the first one.
Okay.
Mitch, I want to hear what you think, since you didn't like the first one.
Yeah.
I know. This is what everybody's waiting for, right? Yeah.
No.
All right.
Really?
So I'm going to blow minds right now.
Do it. Hated it.
1,000% better than the first
one. Wow. Okay.
Really?
Absolutely, man.
Really?
It worked. Like, it worked on so many different levels for me. I was sitting there, and I was just like, everything that bothered me about the first one
is
not here.
Really? You're right. I thought you were being sarcastic. No, you were going to say, I hated it. You are blowing my mind right now. Holy shit.
Great. It was great. It had a good villain. It had character development. The jokes were funny this time. Everything worked for me that didn't work in the first one. Mm-hmm. Like, I watched part two the way the rest of the fucking universe watched the first one.
See, I thought maybe you wouldn't like it because I wasn't sure how you would go with the whole ego thing.
I loved it. It
would have bothered you. Because, I mean, he was kind of, you know, he's one of these dudes where you kind of go, depending on the storyline, you could kind of go kind of either way. Yeah. And I wasn't sure how you would feel about that.
No, so the liberties that were taken with ego did not bother me. Uh-huh. The liberties that were taken with Ronan irked the shit out of me. Like, that's the difference.
I think that's fair.
You know, and never mind the fact that it's fucking Kurt Russell. So I'm like, contractually
Kurt
obligated.
Russell can do no wrong.
Exactly.
In my mind right now.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm in from the start. When you tell me it's Kurt Russell, it's ego. I'm like, well, sign me the fuck up. I don't care what movie it is. I don't give a shit if it's Howard the Duck parts. I don't give a fuck. Like, sign me up.
As directed by George Lucas?
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Sign me up for that shit. So, yeah, everything. Like, I laughed when I was supposed to laugh. The only thing that still bothered me is I fucking hate Batista. I cannot.
Oh, really?
Cannot.
Why?
Because he is such a terrible actor. I've never watched him wrestle, so I can't speak to that. But Drax is like fucking nails on a chalkboard for me whenever he's on screen. Maybe,
see, I don't have that reaction.
Yeah, maybe never so much as the scene with the empath, and I can't think of her name.
Mantis?
Yeah. Never so much. And even from the trailers, I knew, I was like, oh, fuck this movie. Because as soon as I saw when she was doing the thing where she's like, you have romantic love feelings for this. And he does that dumbass fucking laugh that is so pushed. And I was just like, oh, God. So, yeah, whenever
I like that
there,
scene.
Oh, dude, I cannot stand Batista. Like, Drax, and I like Drax, and that's another problem I have with it, is I cannot stand Batista being Drax.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, like I said, he's the only thing that carried over for me from 1 to 2. Everything else I thought was better.
That's interesting. So yeah, I guess it's good that I'm here because I can split the difference.
Well, so. It's not that I didn't like it. It's just that I felt like, okay, so that, like, Lynn and I watched the movie together, and I thought for sure she was having a bad time. I don't know why, but I just was like, okay, she's not enjoying this movie. And then we got done, and she's like, I thought it was great. And I was like, really? And she's like, yeah.
Dude,
she's
Michelle was bawling by the time that movie was done.
Yeah. I guess.
She was like, no, I thought it was great. I thought it was fantastic. Like, I laughed. I thought it was it was great. And I was like, really? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, okay. I didn't think you were having a good time. She's like, no, it was fantastic. She's like, it was funny. She's like, I loved it. And I was like, oh, okay. Nice.
Great.
And for me, what I didn't like is how they split up the team for so much of the movie. And I was like, the whole thing that I liked about the first one is these fuckers trying to figure out how it is they're supposed to get along. And now you separate them. And I understand why they did it. But at the same time, I like them all being together.
Dude, that's interesting to me because that's one of the I didn't say this, but that's one of the things that irked me about the first one was all the fucking infighting, the constant infighting.
But that makes sense because they were figuring out how it is they were supposed to work together. You have all these people that are used to being by themselves, well, with the exception of Rocket and Groot, and they're used to being only focused on what they are supposed to be doing for themselves, and now they have to figure out how to get along. And now here they are together, and then they split them up.
See,
and
I think that works. Because for a couple of reasons. One, I mean, I totally understand where you're coming from because they are more fun together than they are separate. I agree with you on that point completely. But one, I think there's a lot in this movie that goes into, okay, we decided we're going to stay together and we're family, but we still haven't figured out how that dynamic works yet. And you see that a right. lot with Rocket and Peter Quill's relationship, which I love how they used Yondu as a foil between those
well,
two.
Well, I love Michael Rooker. He's yeah. fucking badass.
Was,
like, I loved Yondu in this.
I loved that him was in the fantastic. First one, loved him in the second one. I was yeah.
But,
that.
But I think when you look back on this in hindsight, because Gunn's pretty much confirmed that he's doing the third one, these yes. characters are going to show up in the Avengers movies. I think what you're going to see is in the rest of these movies, they're going to stay a team, right? And not yeah. and probably not be split up. So I think when everything is all said and done, this is just going to be the movie that brought them apart a little bit to bring them back together for the rest of the stuff.
I can see
and it'll
yeah. Yeah, and I mean, and it's tough for me because, like, I'm glad they brought Nebula back. I thought she was great.
Yes.
I loved her relationship yeah. With Gamora. But I guess what it is, I wanted my cake and I wanted to eat it too. I wanted yeah. her to be able to see the importance, like, be able to, you know, basically tell Gamora, like, hey, I wanted a sister. I didn't want, you know, like, I love that stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't want an opponent. I wanted a sister.
Yep.
I yeah. liked the stuff that came out of all their talking. I just wish they didn't have to be just them to do it. If that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah.
I guess I liked Rocket better in the first one than I feel like I had a little more empathy for him in the first one in terms of, like, when they kind of talked about how he was made and have, you know, getting taken apart and putting back together. And, like, the fact that, you know, he was, you know, conscious and aware of that shit happening to him. Whereas here, you know, I guess in today's day and age, the lovable asshole is not quite so lovable. So maybe that had something to do with it, but I liked Rocket better in the first one, and I kind of
well that
didn't
ties
want
in.
Him stirring up shit just for the sake of stirring it up.
That ties into a bit to my sort of complicated feelings with this film, because I liked it a lot. But I had a very Age of Ultron reaction to it, in that I think I liked what this movie was trying to be and what it wanted to be more than I liked the execution of the actual film. Because mm-hmm. I think, like, I really love the story of Age of Ultron in terms of trying to test what the Avengers are and what they represent.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
when you watch that movie over and over again, it just becomes this collection of scenes.
Right.
I think,
some are
I think
better
Ultron,
than
Ultron holds up better as a setup for Civil War than it does as an actual event.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Totally does.
I still Whereas, like it, and I'll still watch it, because, like you said, there's particular moments that I enjoy, but it's more of a table setting
yeah.
gesture. It's
well,
a 2
and
hour
you look at the first Avengers movie.
Table setting gesture.
Yeah. But you look at the first Avengers movie, and that's a coherent movie from beginning to end. It
yeah,
all
absolutely.
Works from beginning to end. I really love that about it. And I think despite how much I love the Winter Soldier, I think I'll always put the original Avengers movie a little bit above it. But if the same thing happens with this
that's
one. Like I rewatched Guardians of the Galaxy this weekend, and just as a movie beginning to end, I think it's a better made, it's a better constructed, better flowing movie than what I think of when I've only seen Guardians 2 once, but I have this bad feeling walking out of that theater. Like, I enjoyed this, but I think it's going to be one of those things as I see it get its cable run and see these scenes over and over again, where the stuff that was flat, and I think there's a bunch of stuff in it that fell flat.
Yeah, for me too.
Doesn't hold together well and becomes like, can we get through this scene to the next good bit? Like, the scene that stands out to me the most in all of that is the Peter Quill catch with Dad scene. Like, don't, you know what, don't fucking try to out Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Field of Dreams fucking spent 90 minutes earning that moment.
Right.
There was nothing about this 5 minutes we spent watching Catch with Dad that felt earned or interesting or anything else. It was like, really? They're going to, like, catch with a ball of energy?
That's
what they're doing with this time?
I was like, yeah, I thought the same way. I was like, really?
We're gonna,
you can't just let the viewer kind of figure that shit out for themselves? Like, this is what Pete, yeah, okay.
So I felt like there were not a lot, but there were a handful of scenes that were just, they were so off-putting as to distract from the whole film. Yondu's arrow murdering apparently 100,000
Well, I thought that was
over
slow motion of the bodies falling.
Yeah. I'm watching that going, I get the fucking point, but you're also trying to tell us the Ravagers aren't all inherently evil, especially through the end of the film, and you just mass murdered all of them.
Yeah, that I actually liked because I liked the visuals and I liked the way that I was okay with
it. It was
that.
A cool visual, but it also, I watched it in a regular 2D theater like a chump. And you watch a lot of those scenes thinking this is they shot this to look like this for 3D. Like where Rocket blows those guys up in the air and it stops with a close up of their faces.
Oh, yeah.
There were a lot of scenes in this where I'm like, well, that's there because of the 3D. And I'm not getting the benefit of that, so it's really not interesting.
Yeah. But, well, for me, it was more, there was a couple jokes. Like, they did the whole thing with Nebula when he's like, well, what do you want? And she was like, I want destruction, death, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I thought maybe you'd want a pretty hat. And I was just like, you knew what the setup was, and you knew what the payoff was going to be. Now, compare that to, I watched Moana this morning.
Yeah.
And there's a scene in that. Have either of you seen that movie?
Yeah.
Is this a Disney one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I haven't seen it.
Okay, so her sidekick in the movie is this mentally challenged chicken, I guess is probably the best way to describe it. And there's this one scene where she's out on the ocean, and it's early on in her journey, and the chicken rooster pops up out of the hold of the boat, sees water everywhere, and starts screaming, and she puts a he had a coconut on his head, and she pulls a coconut off, and he's like, oh! And then she puts coconut on and takes it off. He's like, oh! And I mean, and that's like a classic cartoon trope, right? But it worked, and it was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And there were a few moments like that in this movie where I knew this was the setup for a joke. I knew where the joke was going.
Yeah.
The food she was eating.
And then even though I knew what it was, and I wouldn't necessarily object to it, it didn't land for me.
Yeah.
But now, that being said, I am very much someone who sometimes my second viewing of movies improves because I need the first one to tell me what it is.
Yep, I understand.
As opposed
that.
To what I thought it would be. And then once I know that, I enjoy it more. So it's entirely possible that if I were to watch this movie again, I would get more out of it because I would know what it was going into it. And I wouldn't be disappointed or, you know, kind of spending the time trying to figure out, you know, what it is.
Yeah.
I get that. And I'm interested. Like, I'm, you know, like I own the first one and I'll buy this one. And the second viewing for me is what honestly is going to make or break it. Because I kind of feel like because I didn't dig the first one and I had no intentions whatsoever of enjoying this movie. Like, I really didn't. I was like, it's going to be more of the same shit. And people who love the first one have said this one isn't as good. And I'm like, well, holy shit. Because, like,
if it's worse than the first one. I don't get the people who are saying this is more of the same. To me, this.
Yeah, I don't.
I absolutely do.
This was not, though. This was, I mean, the humor was the same, but the characters are the same. I expect to get the same humor. But this movie, I think, was incredibly brave in wearing its heart on its sleeve in a way that none of the Marvel movies have been so far.
Yeah, but I think for the most part, though, most of it is, you know, wisecracking, fighting group of alien misfits fight universal threat.
Which,
granted, is most of the Marvel movies. It's just a good number of how many heroes / misfits there are.
They're the Guardians of the Galaxy,
right?
Just saying.
But I think I understand where those criticisms, the more of the same kind of stuff, comes from.
See, I think this was this movie to me. I mean, between the stuff between Gamora and Nebula, is it Nebula or Nebula? Yeah.
Nebula.
Nebula.
Okay. And the stuff between Yondu and Rocket, and then between Yondu and Peter, and then just the whole thing between the Ravagers and Yondu.
Yep.
This was like we're going to show these people who are supposed to be badasses completely vulnerable, completely stripped down in so many ways, and we're going to revel in it, and we're going to take our time and linger on it, and I don't care if you're bored. I don't care if you're waiting for superhero action heroics.
I agree.
This shit. Yeah. And I was so impressed. That was the thing I loved most about this movie, is it wasn't afraid to do that.
And I guess I would have enjoyed it more if if maybe they had pulled some things that they felt they had to put in between, like the whole thing with the guy's name being Taserface. Like, I was like,
again,
okay, like I get it.
It's
Toby.
Clunky.
He's Toby from Last of Us. Like, I get it. You got a name. You know what I mean? Like, they kind of took that a little bit too long.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Just
I
like,
agree.
They kind of drew some of that shit out. So maybe if it had been a little bit tighter, and some of the jokes that didn't hit, they just decided we're just not going to do those. Then the message that you're talking about, which I agree, is a great message to have and not something we typically see in a superhero movie. You know, maybe for me it would have been more impactful.
I completely agree with that, because I think what holds this movie back is, script-wise, it's clunky. And there's probably a fan edit of this movie that's going to be quite a bit better than the one they put in theaters, because it'll chop out some needless shit like the playing catch with dad, or the eon of exposition for Kurt Russell with his little 3D.
Well, I actually like that, because I liked all the scenes of Kurt Russell macking on aliens.
Yeah, right.
But I also just from a technical perspective, I liked the way he chose to portray that, like with these weird, almost like plasticky dioramas.
Yes.
Maybe that's the Transformers collector in me.
Visual, but it was just a way to give your eyes something to latch onto while he monologued for a half an hour.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And I mean, okay, so how did you feel about him making Peter's mom sick? Like, did you feel that that was even necessary, or was it just kind of like a cheap way to get Peter upset?
I thought it was cheap. I didn't like that.
I agree. I do agree. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it had to be cheap, but it certainly came out in a cheap way.
Like, right,
they didn't
exactly
have any other way to break Peter out of this funk they decided to put him in. Not a funk,
right,
but, you know, this trance. How do we do this? Let's have him reveal that he gave her cancer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because because my whole point of it was like, well, you're a living planet and she's an Earther. She's going to die long before you,
right,
anyway.
Right.
And you're really telling me that you can't stay away from,
yeah,
you know,
you've been across half the women in the galaxy, apparently. And,
right,
and this one made you have to kill her so you wouldn't stay with her. That was stupid. I mean, you could have just as easily said it was a byproduct of the copulation between
that,
you know,
that, and that would have been better.
Yep.
Yeah,
that
absolutely
would have been better if
absolutely
he was like, I didn't mean to make her sick, but you know what? You fucking alien. You take an alien by the whole. You fucking alien bull. You catch the horns, baby.
Like, there she goes. Homeboy
right
fucked the Martian once.
right. This ain't Star Man.
you
Jay, galactic clap. You know, like, that would have been better to me rather than just be like, oh, yeah, I totally killed your mom.
Oh, like, bitch, that whole scene is running through my head right now.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Well, Kurt Russell wasn't in Star Man. That was Jeff Bridges, right?
Yes.
Yes.
That was Jeff Bridges
in
Star Man. Yes.
Okay.
But and I liked most of what they did with Ego in this movie, except it was like that part and the scene with Catch. But Ego as a toxic father figure, and I'm stealing this terminology because Charlie Jane Anders, who used to write for IO9, wrote an awesome write up about how much this movie is about toxic fatherhood.
Yeah.
As relative to decent fatherhood, he was such a great bad dad.
Yep.
Yeah.
He really, really was. And the relationship for how fatherhood screwed up Nebula and Gamora and,
right,
and all of this stuff. I thought it was a really nice, not nice, well thought.
It was so nice that he killed his mom. He abandoned his kid and killed his mom.
You know, it's no secret this movie's all about family and what is a family and what constitutes a family. It's pretty much knocking you over the head with that. But
right,
how much of it
yeah
is about what bad fatherhood looks like?
Yep.
Right.
A lot of that actually comes through pretty subtly in ways that aren't as obvious, and I think that's cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would agree with that. So in terms of, you know, it's funny because the Marvel movies now, they all tend to, I'm not going to say they blend together, but there's so many of them now in terms of like.
Seriously, my Blu-ray shelf is ridiculous with Marvel movies.
No shit, right? Like, I don't even know. I think we're well beyond the point where you'd be like, where would you place this in regards to other ones? Because for me, it's
okay,
there's Winter Soldier and then
the rest of them.
There's all of the other ones. Yeah, right. Yeah. But I know personally, I have certain Marvel movies that I'm like, when I feel like, okay, I really want to watch a Marvel movie, Winter Soldier is one of them. Oddly enough, Ant-Man.
Ant-Man's fantastic.
Ant-Man is one of them. Like, yes.
Ant-Man's good, but it's not one I feel compelled to rewatch.
I've seen it a bunch of times. I love that movie.
Yep.
Yeah. And I haven't rewatched Doctor Strange yet because I wanted to rewatch it. I wanted to watch it on the big screen before I watched it on my iPad. I haven't got a chance to.
And you should.
But
I'll never watch it again. I own it. I'll never watch it again.
Really?
No. God, no. It's a boring fucking movie about a boring fucking character. I'll never watch it again.
The boring parts of that movie I liked. It was the countless pointless visual action scenes. God, I can't talk.
You're both wrong. You're both wrong on so many levels.
On all the levels, really.
However many levels there are, that's how many levels you're wrong on.
The cosmic trippy shit was fine. It was the Inception. Let's see how many ways we can warp a cityscape that bored the shit.
All right. I will retract my previous statement because I did dig the ending, because I like that they actually had fucking Dormammu in there. I was like, all right, props for that. But the rest of it, fuck off. I don't care.
Oh, God. But, I mean, you're killing me.
I like it because I like fucking, Benedict Cumberbun. And I did that one. That was on purpose. But I mean, I love that dude in Sherlock, and I thought he was a perfect cast.
You loved him
in Doctor Strange,
Star Trek.
I did not love him in Star Trek.
That's your favorite movie.
Oh God!
We do not have time for me to go off on a rant about Into Darkness again.
You love that movie.
I have nothing to say then.
That movie almost destroyed Star Trek for me. But for the record, I liked Beyond quite a bit.
Oh, okay, cool. I was going to say, because, the only time I've ever liked Star Trek have been the Abrams one, so.
Yeah, no.
I'm with you on that one.
Beyond was fun. At this point, I've accepted what Abrams' Star Trek looks like, but Beyond felt like Star Trek again, and I love that about it.
I love Doctor Strange. I love Chiwetel Ejiofor, whatever his name is. I love Mads Mikkelsen. You fucking put Mads Mikkelsen in anything, and I'm gonna fucking watch it.
You're almost done with season 3 of Hannibal, Brandon. I'm almost through.
I am almost done, or you're almost.
No, I am, because you've been talking about Hannibal for years, and
I love that.
Michelle and I knocked out the first two seasons in like three weeks.
Season 2 of Hannibal is one of the best seasons of television ever made.
So good.
Period.com.
Absolutely.
If I could draw from the Bookipedia.
Yep.
Period.com. Absolutely. Season 2, just like, I don't even know what would be better. The very first episode of season 2 showing you how season 2 ends, and then you completely forget about it.
Yep.
Until it happens, like, you are fucking shocked at something you've already seen.
Yeah.
That is the brilliance of that fucking show, is you were shocked at something you already had seen.
Absolutely.
But because everything that happened in between those two things shocked you even more, you forgot about it.
Yep.
I'm telling, like, if you, Brian Fuller doing American Gods, like, there is so much stuff in American Gods that points back to what he did on Hannibal. It's like watching Hannibal all over again.
Oh my God.
It's fucking amazing.
I've been more excited to get into that shit.
Keep them moderate.
Oh, I will. Because I have no knowledge of the book at all. So, like, I've read the two issues of the comic that have shipped, and I haven't seen the show yet because I want to read the fucking comic. Like, I don't want to watch the show yet, but, like, I feel like I need to, because
American Gods is great.
Yeah, I know.
The show, I know when we first talked, when we talked about the first episode, I was like, I'm not so sure. But these last two,
I'm going to end up reading the comic after the fact, because the show is, I'm the show.
Reading somebody who said that it is entirely possible that at the end of this, Ian McShane is not going to be best known for Elsewhere Engine. He's going to be known for Mr. Wednesday. And I was like, fuck you. Fuck your family.
Yeah.
Fuck your kids.
Yeah.
Like, I want him dead. I want his family dead. I want his house burned to the ground. I was like, you going to tell me this motherfucker ain't going to be known for Elsewhere Engine after this show? And now I'm like, okay, yeah, I get that. In my quieter moments,
right,
I have to admit it to myself.
He is the reason I'm sticking with it. I'll tell you that.
He's great. He's great.
He is fantastic.
He's the reason.
Fucking American.
Why the fuck you watch two episodes of Peter Stormare and that?
It's not. There's nobody. Let's put it this way. I don't think any of it's bad. I think it's good. I think it's well made. There's just nothing happening in it that I particularly care about yet.
What?
I'm serious. It's just
what?
I know.
Gillian Anderson as Lucille Ricardo.
That was pretty cool. But it was just a cool scene. That's what I'm saying. It's a series of disconnected cool scenes, and I haven't cared about where it's going yet.
What?
And I don't mean they're disconnected in which they're not related to each other, but right now it's like I don't understand how any of this fits together. All these separate characters, all these disparate things. I'm sure this shit's going to come together in a way that makes these early episodes really satisfying. Sort of like, I mean, you guys were talking about Legion. Legion comes together in the beginning after you see how it comes together at the end.
Yes.
No, Legion is 3 hours of TV that they split. Legion is 3 hours of story spread out over 8 hours.
If you can get past the first 2-3 episodes of Legion and watch the entire series, it is fucking phenomenal.
It's excellent. Yeah, we loved it. We watched every one of them.
Maybe if I rewatch them, I'd think differently. I still think that you could just not watch the first 4 episodes and then be like, you know, he's not crazy. He's got mutant powers, and be like, okay, you know, like I feel like almost people going, oh yeah, it totally pays off is, and I don't mean you. I mean like the reviews I've read. That's just you trying to justify the fact this show fucking wasted your time for 4 hours up until the point where it actually started to be good.
I am not entirely unconvinced that you're wrong. In other words, you're probably right.
I was like, I'm ready to not watch a show anymore. And then it got really good. And I was like, oh, shit, okay, now we're doing something here. I was like, where were you 4 hours ago? But, yeah.
See, I have a hunch I'm going to end up saying that about American Gods.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, I've loved everything they've done so far. And I think that – and I mean, I read the book, but I don't remember it. So it's not like I have some sort of, like – you know, insider knowledge where I'm like, oh, trust me. You know, it's not like Game of Thrones, Mitch's other favorite show.
oh, God.
Where you'd be like, oh, stick with it. You know, wait until you get to the wedding. Tee-hee-hee. You know, I don't remember the book at all. So I don't know if there's any sort of payoff or anything like that. I just know that I'm digging it. Like I said, the first episode, there was a time in the middle, and I was like, yeah, I'm kind of bored right now.
Yeah.
But then the second episode picked up. Third episode I thought was great. So I'm all in at the moment.
Nice.
So now.
Yeah, by the way, we've derailed.
That's fine.
That's how we do it.
Yeah, shit, man. So, Mitch, you did not like the Thor Ragnarok trailer because you felt like it was a Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
Now, having rewatched the trailer in front of Guardians of the Galaxy, with the exception of the, oh, he's a friend from work, do you still, like, that was really the only moment in the trailer, having rewatched it, that I felt was more like that. Do you still feel the same way?
Well, in full disclosure, I haven't seen it since that original thing, but... No, I may not. I don't know. It was the music and the lighthearted tone to, because I'll tell you now, like I think the, was it Dark Ages, the second Thor movie,
Dark World,
yeah,
Dark
it was Age. Fucking hands down better than the first one. Like I that's, to me, is a top tier, like Marvel, like people diss on it, man, that's like a top tier Marvel flick for me. Like I really dug that movie, and I did not like the first Thor movie. It was okay. But I the only things that I really dig about the first Thor movie is like when they're trying to like integrate him into like our world and shit. And he's like, oh, that was good. I'll fucking have another. And he throws a glass down and shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only enjoyment I got out of the first Thor movie. The rest of it I could do without. Like, it's just not that good of a movie to me. But I felt like the Dark Age felt much more like an actual Thor movie, and so I enjoyed that, and I liked the darker tone to it, and I was like, okay, you know, and I, again, full disclosure, I think Planet Hulk is the best Hulk story probably since fucking Stan Lee and Jack Kirby were doing it back in the day. Like, Planet Hulk was fucking amazing. Like, that whole idea was genius. And the way they did it, and of course, Marvel being who they are, they're like, hey, people like Hulk now for the first time in fucking 40 years. What should we do? Oh, I know. Right. Let's drag it the fuck out, make it a fucking event when he comes back, have 9 million crossovers that mean absolutely dick, and they diluted it until it didn't matter anymore. But for those few issues in The Incredible Hulk, which you had to be reading to get that story, it wasn't an event, it was just a story in that comic book. And it, for what it was fucking brilliant. And so I'm fine with them sort of crossing that over into a Thor movie. I have no problem with that, because as Marvel has proven, or whoever has the rights has proven, they're not quite sure yet how to make a really great Hulk movie.
Mm-hmm. I actually really like the second Hulk movie.
I like it more than other people do, but it's still just,
Norton. Okay. No, I do too, but it's still not. It's the Hulk, man. They could make an amazing Hulk movie. Yeah. They came close in the Avengers to making an amazing Hulk movie.
They did, yeah.
So if you put the Avengers Hulk versus the Ed Norton and the Ang Lee Hulk, they've not gotten there yet. And if they're going to do that, Planet Hulk is the movie to do it. And I guess they don't have, the confidence to just put Planet Hulk out as his own thing. Crossover Thor, I'm fine with that. But don't set it to a stupid 70s, 80s pop soundtrack and shit and make it campy, because it's not, man. It's an amazing story.
And at the end of the day, that's just marketing. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let's not call Led Zeppelin pop.
No, I don't mean that. You know,
that's the first thing. Let's not call Immigrant Song.
I couldn't remember what was on it.
Sorry.
Pop.
I should either be honest with you. I don't remember the song. I just remember I watched the trailer.
Yeah, let's not.
And I was like, all right.
The land of the ice and snow, where they midnight sun and the hot springs.
You're right.
Anyway.
You're absolutely right.
Well, no, but I agree with you, because the first time I watched the trailer, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, this is the guy. This is fucking what we do in the shadows. It's going to be laugh a minute.
Right.
And then he's like, it's a friend from work. And I was like, yeah. And then the second time I watched the trailer, I was like, yeah, there's a lot of bad stuff happening. Like,
exactly.
So I'd be interested if you watched the trailer again to know if you would still have those concerns, because it's really, there's a lot of pretty kind of dramatic imagery and shit not working out well.
It looks like Asgard is done, based on
Asgard in general. And it's just like that line.
Well, there's that too, right? So are we doing Ragnarok, or are we doing fucking Planet Hulk? Because those are both really big stories.
But Mitch, these actors aren't getting any younger.
Though they did all of Ultron, start to finish, cradle to grave in one movie.
You're right.
No, I agree. So here's the thing, though. You're never going to get just a full Planet Hulk.
I know.
Type of movie, because they're just not going to. I don't think Hulk is not just like you're never going to get. Probably for the best, you're never going to get a Hawkeye movie.
Right.
Although, if they did like the Matt Fraction books, that'd be fucking great.
Yeah, goddamn right.
It wouldn't fit in the MCU, but it'd be fucking awesome.
Yep.
Like, I'd love to see My Life as a Weapon.
Shit like Logan, man. Just make a fucking movie and tell the story and don't worry about the chronology.
If
they did My Life as a Weapon, side, completely unrelated.
Yeah,
I'd watch that.
Absolutely.
I'd watch the shit out of that.
Like, everything,
they're not going
to
do that.
Everything doesn't have to exist in a universe. Man, just make a fucking movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for the MCU, though, it does. Everything's tied together, with the exception of the Netflix shows, which they can claim somewhat plausible deniability.
Right.
Simply because they don't have to acknowledge them. They've set up those walls fairly well.
That's true. That's fair.
I think if it's an MCU movie, now they have a plan, and things need to go into that plan. And Hulk, as someone who carries a movie on his own, is not part of that plan.
Yep.
For good or just like.
Well, there's still rights issues with the Hulk, isn't there?
I have no idea.
There's,
I don't know.
Because Incredible Hulk was, I think, technically a Universal movie.
Yeah.
And so apparently they can use the Hulk in the Avengers, but to do a standalone Hulk film requires cooperation from Universal or something to that effect. I'm probably mangling the facts a little bit, but there is something going on there where they can't just simply decide, yeah, we're going to do a standalone movie and make it.
That makes sense. I can see that.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, I guess so the next one then would be Spider-Man Homecoming, which is a Marvel movie, but not a Marvel movie at the same time.
Yep.
And aside from the fact that, you know, it's possible we've seen the whole goddamn thing in the trailer. I'm all for it. You know, last time I saw Michael Keaton as a superhero was in Birdman, and I fucking hated that movie.
Can't hate Birdman.
I did hate Birdman.
You're bored by it.
Well, I hated it because everybody was like, this movie's amazing. It's the greatest movie ever made. It's one long tracking shot. Look how amazing it is. And I'm like, motherfucker, if I want to watch an amazing long tracking shot, I'd watch Children of Men. This shit is boring.
Not West Wing? Oh, I got it in.
Hey, there it is.
Bam, 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 bam. I have it on my phone. I should bring it up.
Walk and talk, baby. World's longest tracking shots.
But I'm excited for it nonetheless. So... Homecoming, even if I feel like I've seen the whole thing in the trailer.
I don't care if I've seen the whole thing. I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, I'm ready to watch it.
And I've gotten in the last couple of months, I've officially gotten my son into Spider-Man because I've had I had three hardcover collections of Ultimate Spider-Man comics, the first three, sitting on his bookshelf for years now.
Oh.
And he ran out of books that he was willing to read, so he pulled one of those off the shelf and he tore through them. Now I've got him starting on some of my comic book collection with them, like the Marvel Knight Spider-Man issues from 2004.
Yep. Man, those are fantastic.
Yeah, they were.
Son, I want to introduce you to something called the Clone Wars. The Clone Saga, whatever.
No. I have those issues, but no, we're not going to. I'll do Maximum Carnage before I do the clone stuff too.
There you go. Absolutely.
Yeah. I like Maximum Carnage.
Yep. That's what I started. Well, like I got Spider-Man as a kid, as a subscription, right? The Spectacular Spider-Man run of that. And I still have those. But when I got – and I got out of comics for a while. But when I got back into them, it was right at the start of Maximum Carnage. And that was what my sort of my reintroduction to comics.
Yeah.
Back in the very early 90s, I think.
You know, what's funny is I actually had – okay, so the issue of I don't know if what Spider-Man comic it was, but as a kid I had the issue where the Jackal, you know, like made the clone of Gwen Stacy and like and they said like that's where the whole clone thing came from.
Yep.
Where like he like, you know, slashed Spider-Man and then got I actually had that issue as a kid.
Yeah.
And I read the shit out of that because the way they drew naked Gwen Stacy coming out of the clone pod. It was like the Sears catalog back in the day. So, but I remember loving. Like I didn't have a lot of comics, so I just read constantly, and I remember reading that.
Like that.
I remember reading that a ton, and then down the line, when I was reading the Clone Saga, whatever the hell it was called, and they harkened back to that, I was like, holy shit, I actually had that.
Yeah.
It was very, you know, and it's rare because I didn't have a comic.
So you're the one person on Earth who the Clone Saga worked for.
Absolutely. I was like, finally, 15 years of narrative buildup pays off. Yeah. I was like, I get you, Kane. I get you.
Oh, shit. Wait a minute. You know what? We got to go back to Guardians for a minute because I got to ask you because we started this whole thing off by talking about how you didn't like the first movie because you were a big fan of the original Guardians. So how was it seeing them sort of recreate that at the end of Guardians 2, putting the original Guardians
back together? My absolute favorite part of the fucking movie was that I finally got to see
Stallone?
Martinix and Starhawk and Charlie 27 in a movie like that. So, I want Vance Astro. But I'll take what they gave me. Like I'm okay with that scene. That was the most exciting part of the whole thing for me.
Because like I knew what it was, I knew what they were doing, but I'd never read any of those characters. I don't know those characters, so the significance was a little bit lost on me.
It was fantastic. And what? Fucking Stallone and Starhawk, sign me the fuck up, man. Like
Stallone and Miley Cyrus,
yes,
as the whatever disembodied robot head, whatever the hell her name was.
Yeah, sign me up for that shit, man.
I did think of you when I saw that. I was like, I bet Mitch is like, finally. Yep, and everybody else is like, who the fuck is this red lizard making Stephen Strange symbols with his hands? Yeah.
Miley was Mainframe or whatever the fuck, but like, and Mainframe wasn't one of the originals, but you know, Ving Rhames is Charlie and Michael fucking Rosenbaum's Martin.
Yeah,
man, come on, dude. Please sign me up for that movie. Fuck, Guardians 3 just needs to be those guys. Fuck it. Fuck Chris, whatever the fuck, and all that other shit. Don't care about Groot. Just give me that, and I'll be happy. I'm not going to get that, but.
I could not convince my wife to stay for all five.
Really?
Of the, yeah.
We
watched the first two.
Our system broke down in the middle of the second post-credit scene. And we hung out for like 10 minutes waiting for them to get it fixed and play it back through.
No, she was like, we're going, right? And I was like, yes. So I didn't see Teen Groot, and then I didn't see the Adam Warlock. But I swear Adam Warlock's pod.
Fuck also.
I saw Adam Warlock's pod was with the Collector in the first one.
It probably was. It probably just wasn't well thought out.
Right. They probably didn't like, it was sort of like an Easter egg, I guess, sort of. So.
Yeah.
Because I remember, seeing it there, and I was like, so then to know that that was in one of the post-credit scenes.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, well, I think that's it for us, unless anybody has anything else. I mean, I could do a good hour and a half on Triple X Return of Xander Cage.
My drink is empty.
Yeah, I was going to say, I got to go to bed, because 5:30 comes real fast. So.
Oh, shit.
Oh, I hear you. Well, so that's it for us. Todd, of course, it was a good time. More than welcome to come back whenever you want.
I would like to say one more thing before we stop. Yeah. Dude, Todd, this was great. Thank you so much, man. Because honestly, when I said, like, I'm in the presence of podcasting, I feel that way, dude, because
you don't listen to enough shows.
No, I don't. You're absolutely right. I listened to the only podcast I ever listened to before this one was Jumping the Shark, and that's just because I love Brandon. And so just, you know, like the final episode of JTS, I still have downloaded on my computer. I'll have it forever. And
somebody's
because
gonna use that someday.
No, man.
No, somebody is. I got hammered on that show and –
yeah, I know, and that's probably why you gave me the shout-out, but it meant, like, it was so incredible to hear, because I'd been listening to you guys for so long, and of course, Brandon had mentioned me before, because I've known Brandon for years, you know, and I love Brandon, and but, you know, you being, as far as my experience or whatever, interactions where you were just the voice on a podcast, and so it was so cool that you like gave me a shout out on the last episode of something I've been listening to for so long. And it was just great, man. And it's been fantastic tonight just to be able to talk to you.
Dude, I have had a blast. It's a lot of memories coming back from last year, and it's made me, I have missed doing the show the last year. I know I can't carry a gaming show even every other week, 'cause I just don't do it enough, but I'm absolutely all for coming back when you guys are doing movies or something that I can get out to see.
Absolutely. Any time, please. You're welcome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so that's it for us for a streaming. Let's see, so I'm going to continue with the Prey live stream, and maybe I'll throw some Nier up there. Not necessarily to throw up on the channel, but just kind of let people see what it's about. Mitch, you got any streaming coming up?
Man, we are, let's see, what's today? 17th?
Wednesday, yeah.
So,
you're 9 days away.
I am a week and 2 days away from my triumphant return to streaming with Friday the 13th. So,
all right, I look forward to it. Now, is that something you and I can play together, or is that a 4-on-1?
It's
type of thing,
it's
right?
Yeah. It's,
like you could track me down and stab me when I'm having sex.
Right. Yeah.
That's about it. Right.
Right.
Okay.
So that's pretty much it. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't know the specifics, obviously, yet. But yeah, I don't know. It might be fun if you got it for us to try to be counselors. And escape, or have sex with each other and escape.
That's what,
you know.
Sure, why not?
That could be a fun episode, but my plans are to fully play Jason almost exclusively and just murder the shit out of people, so we'll see.
I like it. So what are you said? Now I know you've mentioned this before, because but you're getting it on what platforms?
Well, the only platform that's available for that I won't have it on is PC, because I don't have a PC that'll play games. But I've got, so through the Kickstarter, I pre-bought it digitally for the Xbox One, and then I'm going to buy the physical copy for PlayStation 4. So I'll have it on both.
And now is the physical version a kind of a day one with the digital release, or is it going to take some time?
As far as I know, it is.
Okay.
I think that's the plan, but we'll see.
Okay. All right. Well, I look forward to seeing you to play that. So, of course, you know, follow us on the Twitters and whatnot, and that way you always know when we're streaming and what's coming up and all that good stuff. But for myself, Mitch, and Todd, we thank you very much for hanging out with us tonight. We hope that you can join us in another 2 weeks. I have no idea what we'll be talking about.
Alien Covenant.
Or something.
Oh, shit.
Right.
I would do that.
Yeah.
Well, come back, yeah. Dude. 2 weeks. We'll be here.
Yeah. His his messy return to the alien.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, there we go. I guess it's been exciting. So thank you, everybody, for hanging out tonight. Really appreciate it. We hope that you'll join us in the next couple weeks. So for myself, Mitch, and Todd. This has been JTS. Oh shit! Jumping the shark.
Oh snap!
Divided by Werewolves crossover slip of the tongue episode 22. Thank you. Good night, and have a good evening.